This CKNW podcast is brought to you by Destination Toyota in Burnaby. Open all the time at burnabytoyota.ca.
Hopefully you're enjoying your long weekend. Easter Sunday and Passover's underway, so it's good to have you along. And we're doing open phones today. If you want to talk about anything automotive, you're more than welcome to call. And the early bird, as I always say, gets the worm here because it's much easier to get on early than it is later. The phone board clogs up, and then we have to leave some people stranded. So 1-877-399-9898. At 604-280-9898. So it has been a busy week. Auto shows. I tell you, I went to the auto show in Vancouver, which is the last of the Canadian auto shows. They start in the east and then they move west. Montreal kicks it off right at the beginning of January. You have Toronto, then through the Calgary, Alberta, and Edmonton, and then you get to the west coast. So the auto show wraps up today. I encourage you to go to the auto show if you have time on Easter Sunday. It's on till 6 o'clock, and when you're there, don't forget to get a ticket for the Dream Car Lottery for people of British Columbia. For $20 for one ticket, you get a chance to win two BMWs, a Z4, and an X5 diesel worth $145,000. So I was at the Vancouver International Auto Show, then I jetted off to New York City to the other coast for the New York Auto Show. And there was a lot of information coming with a whole bunch of new products. And you've got to remember that the major shows around the world, they hold back a lot of information about cars. The big ones in North America are Detroit, of course, Los Angeles, Chicago. Toronto has some that are more Canadian-oriented, and New York City. Then you have the major shows in Europe and in Asia, with Shanghai coming soon. In New York, I would suggest that the big showstopper was the fact that the Viper is back, the SRT Viper. It's not called the Dodge Viper anymore. It's called the SRT. SRT is now a brand in the Chrysler group, and that's where they have the Challenger. They have the 300, and they also have the Viper. The Viper, check this out, 640 horsepower from an 8.4-liter V10 engine. It's going upscale as well with a beautiful interior. Also, it has seats that they sourced from the same company that supplies seats to Ferrari. And it is going to have launch control, stability control, a four-stage adjustable suspension, and they're hoping to bring control to all of that power. This new Viper is 100 pounds lighter than the older model, so it really is something else. By the way, if you want to look for the coverage I did of the New York Auto Show, go to my website, motormouth.ca. On the homepage, you'll see seven stories that kind of cycle through. And when you see the picture of the Viper, you'll know it. Click on that. That gets you into coverage of all the major cars and also pictures. Lots and lots of pictures on there. So go to motormouth.ca. When you see the picture of the red Viper pop up, click on that and you'll get into it. Other cars that were notable there, there's the SRT Viper, the new Lexus ES that is now larger inside than an E-Class Mercedes or a BMW 5 Series. It's got a longer wheelbase, a beautiful interior. Also from Lexus, they had the RX, which is the best-selling crossover, actually the best-selling vehicle from Lexus. They have now an F-Sport package with tweak suspension and an 8-speed automatic. Over at Toyota, there's a new Avalon coming based on the same platform as that Lexus ES I mentioned. Probably one of the more notable vehicles that was also had a simultaneous reveal at the Vancouver show was the Hyundai Santa Fe. Now, the Hyundai Santa Fe is the second best-selling crossover in the country. There's going to be two versions of this vehicle. There's going to be a regular 5-seater and a 7-seater, what they call a long wheelbase. It's going to be powered by two 4-cylinder engines. If you want the V6, you have to get the bigger model. That vehicle is coming in the fall here to Canada, and the new long wheelbase model will be coming in the new year, 2013. I'll just run through the other cars quickly here that are notable. New Nissan Altima. Nissan claims it's going to be the most fuel-efficient midsize car in the country. There's also going to be a new Ram 1500 in 2013. This is the first vehicle to get the Pentastar V6 in the pickup truck line and an 8-speed automatic. And what's very interesting, there's an available air suspension. So I'm going to go through a few more of these as we go through the show. Notable cars, as I mentioned, if you want to read it, you can go to motormouth.ca and you'll see the picture of the Viper on the main page. Scroll through, click on that, and then you can get into all the coverage. But we are doing open phones today. You can call 1-877-399-9898 and 604-280-9898. We go to Ken first. Hello, Ken.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
two questions. My lease is up soon on my vehicle, and I was looking at an older Volkswagen GTI VR6, a 1998, with about 125,000 kilometers on it. And I was wondering, what's the reliability overall on the V6, or I guess the inline V6 compared to a conventional V6? And second question is, do you know anything of the Ford Focus ST coming to Canada at all?
Yes, the Ford Focus ST will be coming to Canada.
It will be, okay.
Yes, it's going to be the high performance with the turbocharged four-cylinder. I mentioned the Vancouver show, and I think you're calling from British Columbia. It is at the auto show this year, so it is coming. Back to your question about the VR6. The VR6 engine has got to be one of the best engines, in my opinion, that has been produced over the last 20 years. Unfortunately, Volkswagen had really bad troubles with reliability in the late 90s and into the early part of this past decade. In the last little while, it's interesting, when I was at the New York Auto Show, J.D. Power & Associates, you might have heard that company talked about, they do their quality studies. You've probably heard that or seen it. They had an announcement there of the most improved, the most improved brands in terms of quality. Mini won that, but right in there was Volkswagen. So Volkswagen is righting the ship, and they're producing much better cars. The Golf, the new Golf, is one of the highest quality cars in their lineup. But I would say to you, as a car of that age, really, really, really make sure you get the vehicle inspected. The VR6 engine, the early ones, they could have trouble. There was all kinds of gremlins with the Volkswagens of that era. So, you're warned. Go in there with eyes wide open and get the vehicle inspected, because those older Volkswagens were kind of notorious for not being that reliable. The new ones, the new crop, are becoming much better. But just be forewarned.
Okay. Would you recommend, like, say, a 2-liter, like the 2-liter engine of that era, over the VR6 for reliability?
What I would suggest is that you go and do some research on Volkswagen, forum, a Golf forum or a GTI forum, and find out what other people who own the car actually think. The VR6 is so sexy, right? It's such a great motor. It really is a treat. And they're still making that engine, right? And they're using it even in Porsche products. So it's been around for a long time, but it is as a beautiful motor, because it gives you lots of power, lots of torque, and it's compact in size, so they can put it into many different vehicles. So, what I'm trying to say to you is that older Volkswagens of that era are not known for their reliability.
Oh, okay. So
the newer ones, if you're getting in the sort of 2005 plus, that's when they're starting to improve. And the latest batch, the 11s, 12s, and hopefully the 13s, are really getting their house in order.
Speaking of which, like, I heard that the FSI or the TFSI, I believe it is. I'm not too sure what the acronym is, but they're saying there's something to do with the oil consumption issue on the 2-liter turbo. Do you know anything about that?
Once again, I would go back to a forum or people who own these cars. You know, oil consumption, especially in German engines, is not that rare, it has to be within the spectrum of what is acceptable, right? And that's where you need to find out if it's over using too much oil, or if it's just at the high end of what's acceptable. They do make some beautiful engines. There's no question. You know, they're excellent motors. I had a chance to drive the new Golf R when I went to the Geneva show about a month or so ago, and that's a beautiful car, but it's almost $40,000. I've got this week a Volkswagen Jetta GLI. That's the cousin to the GTI, which is a great motor, and that's the 2-liter turbo. So they make great products. I would suggest the newer ones are much more reliable than the ones from the last 10 years or so. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Anytime. We go next to George. Hey, George, go ahead.
Good morning from the sunny Okanagan.
Attaboy. What's going on?
Well, I've been testing out the new 2012 GMC Terrain, the top model, and the Ford Edge top model.
Mm-hmm.
They're both marvelous cars, and I can't decide which one to buy.
Well, you've chosen two excellent vehicles. The Terrain is the GMC cousin to the Chevy Equinox.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, the Edge is a wider vehicle. The Terrain and the Equinox are slightly narrower. I would suggest, though, that the Terrain might have a bigger back seat and a bigger cargo area.
It doesn't. I've spec'd them all out, and the Edge has 2.6 cubic feet more cargo space.
Yes, and a lot of that comes in the width. That's what I'm trying to say. So the actual usable space, which is the length, your knee room and the back length, a lot of times when you look at the cubic space, they calculate the whole space, the height of the ceiling and the width of the vehicle. Regardless, you've chosen two excellent vehicles. The Edge is a heavier and uses a V6 engine, right?
Yep.
And then you get the Terrain, which has a beautiful direct injection 4-cylinder, and it is a very nice vehicle. I think, you know, I would do get the old loony out and see which way the Queen's face, and then do it that way. Do a coin flip. You got two excellent products there.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You will do well with either of them. If you have an eye to fuel consumption, maybe the Terrain wins out with the 4-cylinder.
We were looking at the V6 because we need to tow something.
Okay, that's good that you mentioned that, because the only way I would say to get the V6 is only if you tow, because I think that the performance difference between the 6-cylinder and the 4-cylinder in the Equinox and the Terrain is negligible. It's really only if you tow that you're going to need that. So I would even say that the Edge might have an edge when it comes to towing capacity.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Anytime.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to go to Richard. Hey, Richard. Go ahead, Richard.
Yes, hello.
Yeah.
Yes, my daughter wants to buy or to look for me a Honda. Now, she suggested she wants me to buy this thing here. What is it called? OBD2 Code Digest. Diagnostic tool?
Yeah, OBD2 is what you plug into the car.
And see what is wrong, you know?
Well, I don't know if you need to go and buy a tool. What I think you need to do is, if you're going to look at a used Honda, that you get it inspected. And what you would need to do is go to a technician that can plug the car in, and they can check for any codes that the engine is thrown off.
You have to pay extra again, too, no? All this.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Wait, Richard, hang on just a second. I just want to say something.
Yeah.
This is really a frustrating thing for me, because I always encourage people to get any vehicle that they're really serious about buying. So you're getting down to one or two cars that you really want to buy. You know, and people will not pay, you know, the $150 to $200 it takes for a pre-purchase inspection by an independent mechanic to make sure that the vehicle is reliable. Then they call me on this radio show and they say, Zach, I bought a car and the transmission fell out of it and the drivetrain fell out. Well, did you get the vehicle inspected? No, because you're going to save saving $100 to $200. Spend the money. Get the vehicle inspected, and because you know, if you find out this thing's a turkey, then you move on. You may be out $150, but in the grand scheme of owning a vehicle, it's not that much money.
Yeah, but if I buy this thing, it costs $89, let's say.
But all the OBD...
Show me, too, what is wrong, no?
All it's going to do is if the vehicle is what they call throwing a code, you're going to be able to pull up any problem codes. There's a problem with the mass airflow system.